Now, before you're seated, friends, say hi to someone and say, hey, it's good to see you at church today. And you may be seated. There's kids' church. So for kids, you can meet with Pastor Joseph. He's in the back. He's waving his hand there. He's in the white t-shirt with the big muscles. He's back there. So kids' church is on right now. And so if you are a kid or want to be a kid, you can join them in the back. And we welcome you. If you are new here, my name is Andy. There is a welcome card in front of you. Feel free to fill that out if you are looking for a home church and you want to start a journey with Jesus or you want us to walk alongside your journey with Jesus. We encourage you to fill that card out. You can give it to the offering box that's in the back, or you can give it to someone friendly and it'll get to us and we'll walk with you. We also take sermon notes, hard copy, as well as on our website. You can also get it on our app, so it gives you an opportunity not to hear the word of God today, but you can apply it to your everyday life. And so I'm pleased to share with you today that we have a good friend, an honorary member and resident of Home Church, Terry Wong. And he comes all the way from Hawaii, and he brought the rain with him. So it's good that he's with us today. But can we give a round of applause for Pastor, Reverend, Doctor, Master, Pastor, Terry Wong.
Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Andy, and for the invitation to speak in this great church. And I want to thank you that this church raised up my wife, because she started attending this church when she was a little girl. And I'm the blessed man that got to marry her. So praise the Lord. But yeah, we have always enjoyed being here. Honey, can you turn around and wave to everybody? There she is! Yay! Those who don't know, she herself is a licensed minister with the Assemblies of God. So she's Reverend Vicky Wong, but she's also a licensed Christian counselor. And she's the only one in the Assemblies of God, it might even be for in the other denomination as well, where she's a licensed minister and a licensed counselor. So consequently, she is super busy with her counseling business, and she's got so many clients that want somebody who understands counseling, but somebody also understanding the ministry. So she's even got pastors and pastors' wives that are her clients. So anyways, I want to give you an update on our family. So last year we were here, we were asked to speak in your summer camp, and then a big significant event happened. My oldest son got married, okay? So he's the guy in the middle there, Brandon, and he married Alexis, and sometimes people go to church to look for a mate, right? Okay, I want you to know, after he got his computer engineering degree from the University of Hawaii, he got a job offer to work for Apple. That's in Cupertino. Well, he started looking for different churches to attend, and he narrowed it down to two churches. One is Bethel Assembly of God, which is like a mega church. They got like 2,500 people in San Jose. Then the other one is a smaller church. It's quite good size too. It's about 400 people, Abundant Life Assembly of God. Now, that's pastored by my best friend, Pastor Greg Wenschlag. And in fact, he sang our wedding. In fact, I just want to, I'm going to digress for 1 second, okay? I want to thank the Lord for Barry and Chu Kwok, who are here in service today, because they put together a blessings reunion yesterday, okay? Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, because yesterday was our 34th anniversary, and it was in this church, okay? I still remember she would not let me look at her in the morning of her wedding, so I had never seen her in her wedding gown. Then when she walked in, I'm going, oh, man, I get to marry her. I'm like, whoa, right? And wow, that was, you know. But it was 34 years ago here in this church, right? And so thank you that you gather us, because it's part of the reason why we came back to Vancouver. It was our anniversary. Actually, we're going to do something else. And then the reunion happened. And so we came here. And it's the first time in all our 34 years of being married that we got to return to the place that we got married on that day. So that's how significant it was, okay? Well, okay, so back to my story here. So Brandon had a choice between the two churches, okay? Well, at Bethel, because it's a really big church, they had a young adult group of 200 people. Like, they have their own service, okay? At Abundant Life, They had four young adults. But see, hopefully we raised our son the right way, because he came down to the short list and thought, okay, one church has lots of prospects, but he felt they weren't that spiritual, okay? Then the smaller church, Abundant Life, only have four young adults, but because the pastor is my best friend, we think alike in ministry. They're the number one missions church in the Bay Area. They move into the prophetic and spiritual gifts and all that. He says, I'm going to pick Abundant Life because I want to be in a church that's spiritual. So then my best friend knows that I've known his kids since they were born. He knows our kids since they were born. And so he said, well, would you like to play piano for us? Because my son, actually, he not only graduated from the number one music conservatory in Hawaii, but he also was asked to be a piano teacher as well. So my buddy knows that, and so says, would you like to play piano? I says, oh, okay. And so during worship practice, he's playing, and next to the piano is this full-on percussion set. Congas, bongos, cymbals, okay? And so it was this girl. So, yeah, so they got to know each other, and then they started dating and all that stuff, and so last year, they got married. So, wow, and they worshiped together during the fact. This morning, I just got a text message from my son saying that they're on the worship team again, and they're, hey, Dad, have you heard this song, and all that kind of stuff. So, there they are, right? And then, this is my daughter over here, Vanessa, and guys, she's still single. She's 26 years old. She won a beauty contest that had no bathing suit competition, because that was the requirement, and by daddy. And she's was my number one worship leader when I was pastoring the church. But the one condition is that you're interested in her. There's a 2-hour interview with her dad. Okay, I just want to make sure I mention that. Okay, then my beautiful wife, and then our youngest son Ryan. He just completed his second year at Cal Poly, which is one of the top aerospace engineering colleges in the United States, and he's getting ready for an internship in Europe in aerospace engineering, and his goal is that when Elon Musk sends a rocket to Mars, he's on that team. Because if you saw Artemis 2 splash down, the captain is from Cal Poly. Yeah, so the whole college, the engineering department, stop all the classes, and they're just watching the splashdown. Because hey, that's our buddy right there, right? And so that's our family. Just want to give you an update. And of course, Vicky is dying to be a grandmother, but we don't want to put that kind of pressure on our son, right? Anyway, praise God. Okay, so let me get into the opening scripture here in John chapter 16, verse 7. Okay, it reads, "But I tell you, I am going to do what is best for you. This is why I am going away. The Holy Spirit cannot come to help you until I leave. But after I am gone, I will send the Spirit to you." I have entitled my message, "The Presence of the Spirit," because I get the privilege to open up the series for this month entitled Spirit-Led. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just do a mighty work today. Lord, may I step aside so it be the Holy Spirit that would minister the Word of God to each and every heart. Let there be some teaching, some challenge, and inspiration. We just commit it into your hands, and may you receive all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. So, 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Pentecost Sunday. And it was a pretty big event in Hawaii because it was 2,000 years ago when Jesus' disciples and the multitude gathered together, and the fullness of the Holy Spirit was released. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, we see this. "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So we see from this account that this is when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And this is actually in fulfillment of what Jesus had prophesied in the opening passage I said. He said that, "I'm going to leave planned. I've been with you guys for over 3 years, but I'm not going to leave you alone. We're going to do a tag team. I go up to my Father, and then I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you so that the presence of the Spirit may be upon you. Because my absence, you might feel like, you know, how come you leave me alone and all that? No, I'm going to have the Holy Spirit take over from here. And so then, 10 days later, we see this happening. There were 120 of them. That's how many disciples that Jesus had at the time of his departure. And they gathered together, and the Holy Spirit was poured out. And that's when this whole phenomenon happened. Shortly after the baptism, and people were filled with the Holy Spirit. Because it's a day of Pentecost, which was a Jewish feast, there are people gathered from different nations there, and because they heard all the tongues going on and the miracles, they were questioning what was going on. Peter stood up, preached an incredible message, and then 3,000 people got saved. I mean, it was an incredible experience. And let me just say that the presence of the Spirit was not just for the first century Christians, but it's also for us today. And so we can experience the presence of the Spirit. So let's see what happened after the day of Pentecost. Okay, same chapter in Acts chapter 2, but after this whole experience and the birth of the first church, and this was not like some small church, it was a mega church. There were at least 3,000 people in this church, and we want to see what happened. Now let me say, before we look at the different passages and all that, what we need to see here also is that there are several symbols of the Holy Spirit that I want to point out to you. And with this, as we look at the symbols, I like to align the symbols of the Holy Spirit with what I'm preaching about this morning. Okay, so let me just my thing just blanked up here. Okay, here we go. Okay, now, so the first thing I like to point out is that the presence of the Spirit is personal. Everybody say personal. In verse 42, now remember, this is after that incredible opening day and all that. It says in verse 42, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Okay? In prayers. They had a personal relationship with God, the church. Okay? And it wasn't just, I go to church, and I think because I go to church, I'm called a Christian. It was a personal relationship that they had. It's because the presence of the Spirit is upon them. And one of the symbols of the Spirit is breath. It's the breath of the Spirit that gave life to Adam. It's the breath of the Spirit that gives life to us. And that breath that Jesus even breathed upon the disciple, that breath enables us to have that personal relationship with God. The presence of the Spirit connects us to the Father and to Jesus up in heaven. Now, what is sad statistically is that most Christians don't have a personal relationship with God. In fact, I'm going to make a really bold statement, and it's been proven from research and all that. The majority of people in this world that call themselves Christians don't have a personal relationship with God. It is a ritual. It is a duty in their mind. It's their way of working towards going to heaven. What am I talking about? People that just attend church and say, okay, you know what? I did my duty, and now I get to live however I want to live from Sunday to Sunday. That is not a personal relationship. You know, a personal relationship is to actually commune, to fellowship, to talk with God. In fact, it's surprising too that so many Christians have not even heard the voice of God. No personal relationship, never heard the voice. They don't talk to God. And they don't hear God. But it should be one of our goals to hear God's voice. If we are personal with Him, see, God doesn't want just a one-way conversation. That you only talk to Him when you're in trouble. You talk to Him when you have a need. Then that's when you talk to Him. But then after that, after you dumped on Him, then you carry on with your life. No, He wants a two-way conversation. He wants to talk to you, and He wants you to hear Him. And so experiencing the presence of the Spirit is to have this personal communion and fellowship with Him in authentic ways. When I was doing my master's degree, I attended Fuller Theological Seminary, and there's one reason for it, because there's a professor that was the academic dean, and I wanted to learn from him. I was very passionate about missions already, and I heard that he was a missionary, and he was arguably the number one missional theologian in the world, and that's Dr. Peter Wagner, Okay, it's a picture of him. He kind of looks like Colonel Sanders, okay? That's always a joke, right? But he even introduces himself. He said, I have no bucket of chicken for you, Barry Kwok, okay? Because that's the way he would have served lunch yesterday, okay? We heard that, okay? Well, I took a whole bunch of courses from him because I want to learn from this incredible man. Now, I remember during one class, he was telling us a story of what happened to him in the spirit. He was saying that he was he grew up as a Christian, as a congregationalist. That's kind of like a Baptist. And he didn't, as one of them, he did not believe in the Pentecostal doctrine. He didn't believe in speaking tongues. And so a lot of his colleagues, people in church, said that, you know, since you're such a well-known scholar, it'd be nice to have like a scholarly paper speaking against tongues. And he said, that is a good idea. So he started writing a paper called The Fallacy of Tongues. The Fallacy of Tongues. Now this is like Dr. Peter Wagner. If he writes this, it's going to establish it in the Christian world that tongues is false, it's fake. So back in that day, there were no iPads. There were no computers. Everything was on the typewriter. How many of you young people even know what a typewriter is? Okay, here you go. That ancient thing back in the Renaissance, okay? Well, I still have my typewriter in my garage, okay? But when you type, you only have one copy. It's what comes out on the paper. So he was busy typing away, doing all his research on the fallacy of tongues. Then he was telling the story. Now, Fuller Theological Seminary, the headquarters, is in Pasadena. So he was at an intersection driving in Pasadena, and when the red light turned green, he started driving into the intersection. As he did, Jesus baptized him in the Holy Spirit, a congregationalist, a non-Pentecostal, and he started speaking in tongues, like just crazy. And so when he got to his office, he took the copy of his paper and he threw it in the garbage. And hallelujah, because there's no computer, there's no backups. It's gone. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he started telling people that I heard the voice of God. And it's amazing. My relationship had been so kind of, you know, academic, mental. But now it's personal. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so from there, he had already written a lot of books on church planting and missions. You can find it in the Christian bookstore here in Vancouver. But then he started writing books on prayer and listening to the voice of God because it was happening in him. And all the Pentecostals in the world, hallelujah! Instead of a guy writing against us, he's writing for us now. Because it's real. It was given to us. You see? And so if a congregationalist can hear the voice of God, all the more for a Pentecostal. Amen? When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, the presence, to hear that, to just know that the presence of the Lord is upon you. And with that, point number two, the presence of the Spirit brings us peace. First, it's personal, and then it brings us peace. Verse 46, it says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they eat their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Now look at this. This is a mega church. It's got over 3,000 people. And yet it says they were with one accord. A lot of people choose not to go to a mega church because there's so much division. There's like, they don't know me. There's all these groups out there and I'm just kind of left alone. I'm like a nobody. Well, some people like that. They want to be a nobody when they go to church. But, you know, more people actually want some kind of fellowship. And so that's why they choose a smaller church. Not in this case, this mega church. And why the difference? The presence of the Spirit. The presence of the Spirit was so apparent on everybody. So as a result of that, you got people with gladness, simplicity of heart. That is speaking about peace in the church. There's peace in Christians' hearts. So the second symbol that is being manifested here is the dove. When the doves descended upon Jesus at his baptism, it was a picture of gentleness, purity, and peace. That's what the symbol of the dove represents to us. That dove was not just for Jesus, it's for us as well. See, we can spend time in the presence of the Spirit. We can experience his dove-like peace. So many people including Christians, have little or no peace. My wife, sometimes after work, she'll see up to 9 clients sometimes. That's an hour each, so do the math. She's beat up. Hubby has to make dinner. Hubby has to be the one that would say, hey, can I pray for you? Can I unload that, burden that off of you? And then so many times. Now, she will never reveal any identities because she's got to maintain confidentiality. But she'll tell me, oh, another Christian, no peace. A pastor's wife, abused by their husband. A pastor's wife, abused by their husband, had no peace. A pastor that comes to her, no peace. The stress. Always distressed. Even depressed. And constantly oppressed. They go through that. And maybe you're even here today. You know? Maybe you come to church and you can put on a smile, but there's no smiling in your soul. There's no peace. And you're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. You're worrying about what the boss is going to say to you. You're worried about what the family's going to, the conflict. You go back to the family. You're not even looking forward to it. You'd rather stay in church. That happens a lot. It's very common. See, if that's you, you need his shalom peace. There's an individual that I used to serve alongside with. His name is Dennis Whitman. We can put a picture of him right now. No, that's not him when I served with him. Okay? He was an addict. He was into drugs. He was an alcoholic. And one time he was so high, so full of alcohol, he took his brother, pushed his head into a brick wall, and killed him. So, of course, he was caught guilty, found guilty, and they put him in prison. Then a friend of mine went, who did prison ministries, and went to his prison and preached to him. Now, he was on suicide watch because when he became sober again, he didn't even realize what he did to his brother. When he found out that he was the murderer, oh, he wanted to take his own life. Because it's one thing if somebody murdered your loved one. It's another thing when you did it. And he didn't even know he did it. So he was on suicide watch. My friend who went to preach to him told him about Jesus, that we all have messed up. And that blood is so precious, it can still forgive. No matter how grave that sin may be, he can still forgive. He accepted Jesus. And because my friend was a Pentecostal, he taught him how to receive the Holy Spirit as well. The presence of the Spirit came upon him. And for the first time in the longest time, he found peace. So that what did he do after he served his time? He took courses to become a credential minister. And now you see how he looks like a few years ago. He became an ordained minister, cleaned himself up. And now he's the director of one of our teen challenge centers in California. And now he's helping other alcoholics, other addicts, finding the peace of God. You see, when you find it, you can help somebody else find it. But sometimes the challenge is, how do you find it? The presence of the Spirit. I challenge you. When you press in, when you're in his presence. But sometimes we run from the presence. Jonah, it says in the first chapter, he ran from the presence of the Lord. Now, why do you want to do that? When that's where your help is. And yet, here in Canada, here in North America, we wake up, something bad happened. And what do? You don't want to go to church. You're running from the presence of the Lord. You should be going to church. You should be going to the place of where his presence is. Because that's where you're going to find your peace. The presence of the Spirit also gives us power. Everybody say power. Power. Louder than that. Come on, make a powerful statement right now. Let's hear power. Oh, there we go. Just woke up some of you. Verse 43 says, many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Remember, again, this is the same church that just had the presence of the Spirit upon them. Wonders and signs speak of power. There are miracles happening. People are getting healing and being saved more. See, the symbol that is manifested here is fire. Another symbol of the Holy Spirit. Fire. Fire contains blazing power. And power is what Jesus promised to his disciples. In Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. See, when you spend time in the presence of the Spirit, you experience firepower. I know that there's, you know, a lot of people claiming that, no, all those gifts and all that all died out after the first century. Let me tell you, when I was doing my doctoral dissertation, I spent years, and literally, it took me 13 years to complete my doctorate. Part of it was because I was so busy ministering as well, but it took a long time because I did a lot of church history research from the first century all the way to now, 2,000 years, to find out that power actually never left. Some claim that there was power in the first century, and then with what happened to Azusa Street, and I've been there, by the way, 312 Azusa Street in L.A., where they had the great outpouring, and the result of that was the Assemblies of God and Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. That was the birth of it all. And some claim that nothing happened between. No, that, contrary to that. And I, if I had another few sermons, I could share some of these phenomenal stories. The power actually never left, and it's still here. My good friends, Heidi and Roland Baker, they have spoken in my church many times. They are the great missionaries that have incredible work stationed in Mozambique. Heidi used to be secretary at First Assembly of God in Honolulu. Her husband, Roland, was born in China. His first language was not English. It was Chinese, Mandarin, because his father was a missionary. So he didn't speak English for quite a few years, actually. He picked up English later. And now, of course, he's got perfect English. Okay? Well, the two of them, and Heidi, by the way, she, when God called her into ministry, she was a missionary in Hong Kong, China, and of the 8 languages that she can speak, one of them is Cantonese. So I remember the first time she spoke for us in Hawaii, I took her to a Chinese restaurant, and I started ordering, and the waitress goes, what'd you say again, sir? What'd you say? Because, see, I'm not Cantonese, right? I'm Toisan. And my Cantonese, very thick Toisan accent. So she's from Hong Kong trying to understand. Then Heidi said, you know, haga siomai, you know, dumpling and all that kind of stuff. And then the waitress started talking to her. I'm going, wait a minute, I'm the host, I'm paying for it. Yeah, but you can't speak Chinese, she speaks Chinese. There's hope for us, Pastor Randy, okay? Anyways. But why did I have her speak many times, both he and her? Because the power of the Spirit is upon their ministry. There was a time when she went through a dry season in Mozambique. Miracles were not happening. So she went to Toronto and went to a rally. And during that rally, she was slain in the Spirit. And during the time when she was on the ground, God says, I'm going to give you a healing ministry for blindness. So after that rally was over, she was really encouraged and inspired. She went back to Mozambique, and she started praying for blind people, of course, because God prophesied that to her. She prayed for the first blind person, nothing happened. Second person, nothing happened. Third person, nothing happened. Now, a lot of us, if you pray for a few people and nothing happened, you think, okay, that's not my gifting. But see, God spoke to her. And she said, that's the power of the Spirit that I have given to you. She persisted. She kept on praying. 20 people did not get healed for over a time period of 1 year. For 1 year. Most of us would have quit by now. Let's try something else. Let's pray for maybe, you know, ears or you know, bad backs or whatever. Because God told her that. Then the 21st person came with white eyes. She laid hands on this lady and she said, and he's in her book, the white eye, well, she's written 6-7 books, but in one of her books, the white eye turned brown and she could see. Then the 22nd person came to her. She prayed for her and she saw. And the 23rd, and after that, her ministry started really blossoming because she pressed in. See, the Holy Spirit wants to give us that power, but we also have to have the kind of faith that's going to be strong. And where does that faith come from? Hearing. The faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. See, a lot of us, we don't hear the Word of God on something, we don't have the faith for it. And there's a lot of churches now, it's really sad, in the United States, Assemblies of God churches that don't practice healing, don't preach on healing, consequently, there's no healing. But the churches that are daring to preach about it and to practice it, There's a lot of healings going on. That's what's happening with her. And so now her stats is incredible. 7 out of 10 blind people get healed. Deafness is even more incredible. 10 out of 10. Her husband texts me and says, you have any deaf people in your church? Oh, yeah. You know what? If they're willing to spend a couple of grand to fly to Mozambique, my wife will pray for them. They'll come. It's better than buying a hearing aid. And amazingly, people go there, get healed. You know? I mean, this is the power here that we're talking about. Signs and wonders, wonders and signs. Whatever English interpretation you have. And because of that, she started teaching us how to also do healing. And that's why I wrote my doctoral dissertation on healing. Healing to save the lost. Because when we start praying for the sick, and non-Christians see that, or maybe if it's a non-Christian that we're praying for and they get healed, the next step is salvation. That, hey, Jesus is not just your healer. Jesus, even more so, wants to be your savior. So 2 weeks ago in Honolulu, Hawaii, at First Assembly of God, they held their first ever, and that church is a 78-year-old church, First Assembly of God. It's the first Assembly of God church in Oahu. Okay, that's what I call First Assembly of God. Okay, and in that 78-year history, they never had an evangelistic healing service. It was always a healing service of Christians. That's how a lot of Pentecostal churches do it, if they even do any kind of healing at all. But this time, the pastor read my dissertation. Young guy. He's like, oh, is he 40 years old? Right? 40 years old, young guy. His dad was the pastor and passed it over to him just earlier this year. And so he decided that, because I mentor him on a golf course. We go golfing every few months or so. This is when he was a young guy. And now he hasn't forgotten. So he said, now that I'm the lead pastor of the First Assembly, Dr. Terry, would you come and teach 120 of my leaders? 120, got that number? 120, just like there were 120 on the day of Pentecost. Would you teach my 120 how to pray for the sick? Because what's in your paper, I want it happening here at First Assembly. I said, let's do it. So I spent 8 hours training his people. And 2 Sundays ago, on Pentecost Sunday, he had a healing evangelistic night. The church was packed. It was over 1,000 people. Lot of unchurched, lot of non-Christian, sick people came. And so I preached a message on healing, and then I prayed for some people, and there was one person that had one leg 3 inches shorter than the other, had a 3-inch heel that the doctor prescribed because one leg was shorter. I prayed for that shorter leg. It grew out, and he chucked the shoe away because now he was healed. So now people's faith are really encouraged. Then I said, okay, the 120 that have been trained up, can you come up and line yourself? And they surrounded the whole sanctuary. This is a huge church. It's the biggest church building, actually, in Honolulu. You can't miss it, okay? When you're at the airport, if you fly to Honolulu, you can. When you drive to the downtown, you will see First Assembly of God. It's on a hill. It's like a light house. It's amazing. So the 120 years, and then I said, okay, anybody who has any pain, any kind of sickness, whatever, you come forward. Well, here's the one story I want to share. I mean, there's so many stories, and they're writing creating a file on all the kind of healings that happened that night. One of the 120 is a 79-year-old lady. She was passionate to receive the power to heal the sick. She attended all my training. She spent time with God, pressing and saying, Lord, when Pentecost Sunday come, can you give me the Holy Spirit power so that I can heal the sick too? 79 years old. I know there were a lot of seniors at the reunion yesterday, okay? But that's why, wow. God doesn't just use the next gen. He can use seniors too. Amen. Or seasoned people. Yeah, I think that's what you said in Chinese service. Yeah. So there was a lady that came up to her, and she said, I have a cancerous tumor on my back. So the 79-year-old lady said, may I put my hand on it and pray for you? She said, please, please. So she laid her hands on it, and she said it was the size of a baseball. She started praying, and this lady, remember, she's been through the training. She read all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, about Jesus' healing. Her faith was on an all-time high. She started praying, and she felt the baseball shrink down to the size of a ping pong ball. She kept praying, and it became like a marble. She kept praying, and it disappeared. And hallelujah, that lady, wow, hallelujah. And then contacted the pastor. He looked at it, what, that is a miracle and all that. It still happens today. It's not just for 2,000 years ago, and it's a historical event. It's a historical event to inspire us that still happens today. Hallelujah. And that was just 2 weeks ago in Honolulu, Hawaii. I think they're putting that story on their website, by the way. firstaog.com, if you want to look it up. Not now, I'm preaching. Incredible church. 78 years, never had an evangelistic healing service. And then the pastor asked me to make the altar call. Ton of people got saved. How can you not? Right? Because a lot of unchurched people, they don't get saved because they never seen a miracle. Why do you think they did miracles in the Bible? If you look, and it's in my paper, if you look, most of the time when Jesus healed the sick, when the disciples healed the sick, it was non-Christians to get them saved. Or the healing was to result in a non-Christian getting saved. We, today, in the Pentecostal world, POC, AOG, we reversed it. We pray for the Christian to make them feel good. Let's not invite the non-Christian, because what happens if the healing doesn't happen? Then what do we say? With a Christian, we can say, oh yeah, the healing virtue has been poured out on you, and just trust your Lord. That doesn't cut it with non-Christian. That's what the fear is. But where's the faith? Where's the faith? Because when the faith was too small, that demonized boy was not healed until Jesus came and cast it out. And the disciples asked, how come we couldn't do it? Because you have little faith. You see, he wants us to have big, robust faith to believe in what God can do. How many of you like to believe that God can still heal today? Hallelujah. Pastor, I didn't tell you this. There's one lady I prayed for in the Chinese service. She had a crooked back. I prayed for her, and it started straightening out. And I said, how do you feel? I feel more healed. That was just an hour ago, here, in this place. It's not like, oh, only happens in Hawaii. Oh, only happens in Mozambique. It can happen here at home church. If we raise our faith level to where we can believe that God can use you to heal the sick. And lastly, the presence of the Spirit is our profession. Profession. We see in verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people. This is the people, the community. People were seeing this incredible church manifesting because of the presence of the Lord, and they're being witnessed to. Like, they like what they heard, they like what they see, and it's like, it's not like church and them. It's like church and us together. I like to believe that, yeah, we're a neighborhood church. I heard you say that, Pastor Andy, many times. Yeah. We're not just a church within the four walls. We're a church for the whole community. Because there's community favor because of the presence of the Spirit. See, now this symbol is the wind. The wind. The wind of the Spirit is invisible, but it makes a lot of noise. When you got so much of the Spirit in you, you will make a lot of noise. You, your profession, will spread throughout. Let me finish with this one story. Yeah, in Hawaii, it's amazing. The past year has been a blessing for me to have stepped down from being a pastor of Calvary Assembly of God and to help out with different churches as an executive with the Assembly of God, teaching about healing and seeing people getting saved that way. But we also have done even practical things. There's a school that's near my former church called Lanakila School. Now, these slides were made by the school, okay? So if they look kind of old-fashioned and all that, it's not my fault, okay? Okay? So this is Lanakila Elementary School, only a block away from our church, two blocks away from our church. Okay, in fact, we used their parking as an overflow. But there was community transformation. Okay, because what happened there? Teachers. Okay, Lanakila is a Hawaiian word that means victory. It was not a victorious school. They had the lowest GPA in the entire state. It was like it was a laughingstock among the schools. And by the way, if you don't know. We didn't know it when God called us to move to Hawaii. The public school system in Hawaii is the worst in the United States. It ranks number 50 in the country. Ironically, the top two schools in Hawaii, in the United States are in Hawaii. So there's a joke. Hawaii has the smartest students and the dumbest students. That's the saying there, okay? And so now, the top two schools, Punahou and Iolani. Punahou is where Barack Obama graduated from. Preston, Kelly Preston graduates. So they have this, you know, hey, enroll in our school, you too can be the president of the United States, you know, or enroll in school, you can be an actress and be married to John Travolta too, you know, whatever. Well, most people can't afford it because it's 30 grand a year. U.S. Of course I'm talking U.S., right? Because U.S. But most people go to public school system. Lana Keela was the worst out of all the public schools. And remember, the public schools is the worst in the country. So it's like the worst school in the whole country. So teachers were trying to send out the resume to find another school to work at. The principal was so depressed. So God spoke to me and said, go make an appointment with the principal. So I did. I sat down with her, and she was already depressed, just looking at me. Who are you? Oh, I'm Pastor Terry Wong from Calvary Assembly of God. Oh, is that that Mahjong club over there? Mahjong? Yeah, a whole bunch of Chinese. Don't Chinese play Mahjong? I said, it's a church. You know, okay, I didn't know that. Sorry, right? Anyways, so then I said, well, I'm the pastor of that church. Oh, okay. I was wondering if I can help you in any way. Oh, yeah, well, I don't know how you can help me. You know, I've got these, you say, wait a minute, Chinese church? I said, yeah, we have a Chinese congregation, we have an English congregation. Well, you know, we have all these Chinese immigrants, and they bring down the GPA, they can't read. And so because of that, the reading scores are really low, and everything else is really low. They bring down the average, and that's why, and then the other students are so lazy and all that stuff. You know, yeah, I mean, we would love some tutoring. I said, tell you what, I've got people that can speak English and Chinese, and we would love to help with these immigrants. How about that? He says, oh, wow, you would do that. How much would that cost? I said, free. Free? Nothing's free. No, you're right. It's not free. Here's the condition. You have to allow me to have prayer walks around your school. Prayer walk, what's that? We would have a team that would march around your school. Says, well, you're going to curse the school? No cursing. We're going to march around and we bless the school. Oh, like bless with what? With good grades and health and mental health and physical health, all that. Oh, I'd like that. Yeah. And also, you have to meet with me regularly. Why do we have to meet regularly? Well, because you're the head of school, I'm the head of my church, so from head to head, I'm going to pray for you. Oh, you're not going to curse me, right? No, I don't curse people. I bless people. It says, okay, let's do it. So I send a team there. They met with the students and tutored them and all that, okay? And here's the result. And, of course, I prayed with the principal regularly, and I even pray that the Spirit of God would come upon her, okay? So here's their report. So back in 2002, the reading average was only 25% people passed reading, 9% math, okay? 2003, 25% reading, math, 12%, okay? Now it's increasing. 2004, 33 and 11%. Continue, 43, 19. It's climbing up now. It's taking some time, but see, they're catching on. 57, 27. Then in 2007, reading was 78%, math was 70%. 2008, 81%, 67%. So as a result of that, oh yeah, one more. 68%, 57, next one. Because of that, oh, I'm still going. Okay, 75, 66, okay, next. Okay, so if you tally that up, you see that the big years of 2008, 2007. So as a result of that, okay, next slide. Is there a slide? So I don't really know it. Okay, what happened was that they won the Blue Ribbon Award for the most improved school in the entire state of Hawaii. The Blue Ribbon is given nationwide. So it's recognized nationwide. It's like Lana Keela School, the dumbest school, is now becoming one of the smartest schools. Continue here. So then we continue. Next. Okay, 87 math, 82% reading, next. Then, Lana Keela Elementary School became the number 7 ranked school in the state of Hawaii. So, the news got a hold of this. So, they were interviewing the principal and saying that, hey, what do you attribute to this turnaround in your school? And here's what the principal said, and it was in print. The God that's on Calvary Assembly of God is now on this school. The presence of God is on this school. The the presence of the Spirit, Pastor. You can have that. That's finding favor with all the people. And now, we can do no wrong. Now we're no longer perceived as a mahjong club anymore. No. When there's community events happening, we're invited to it. We're at the food bank. We provide food, we do food distribution. We do all these things. There was a murder that happened a block away intersection. They contacted us to be part of the group that would provide more safety for the community. Because I got known not just as pastor of Calvary Assembly of God, I got known as a pastor of Lanakila District. Wow. God gets the glory. You see, that's our profession, that's the power, that's our peace, and that's personal. We can all experience the presence of the Spirit, the breath, the dove, the fire, and the wind. And he's no respecter of persons or churches, Pastor. What he can do in Hawaii, he can do right here at home church. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your inspiration. Thank you for your challenge. And Lord, as we enter into this month of the Spirit-led series, let us get excited and be reminded, Lord, the Holy Spirit was not just for 2,000 years ago. Holy Spirit's for us today. Miracles can happen today. Peace can be bestowed upon us today. We can all have a personal relationship today. And Lord, we can profess you as Lord and Savior today. So Lord, I pray that we will get a hold of your Holy Spirit and let the presence of the Spirit be upon each person here. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord praise.
Thank you, Pastor Terry.